From Blythe, California, to Vasa, Finland, this is 6YCAT, the voice of the cat, broadcasting from the top of a peyote tree, right here in Kathmandu, in Jamaica. My name is Kit Kat Marley, and I am the son of reggae legend Bobcat Marley, and also I am the son of Josie from Josie and the Pussycats fame. Please stay tuned for this transmission and try to be entertained. Thank you very, very much. Again, this is 6YCAT, the voice of the cat, broadcasting from Kathmandu in Jamaica.
All right, wasn't that cool? Yes, it was. But the bad news is, you are not actually listening to 6YCAT. You are listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I am the president of the Dubious Goals Committee. What's on the Dubious Goals Committee agenda today, you may be asking? And I'm glad you are, because today, we're going to do all kinds of wacky stuff, including going to the bank and recording the ATM. Remember I mentioned that yesterday? We're going to do that a little bit later today. But first, we're going to do something else. And I realize there are probably people out there who wanted to listen to 6YCAT and its very famous DJ, Bobcat Marley. Yes, that was Bobcat Marley you heard. And yes, he is the son of Bob Marley and Josie from Josie and the Pussycats. Bobcat Marley. I had the strangest memory today. This is a memory that I hadn't thought of in I don't know how long, many, many years, if not decades. This memory concerns my football playing career. And of course, when I say football, I do of course mean the sport that Americans erroneously called soccer. But this is not the nomenclature show. You're listening to Tobe on Anon Radio. My football career was, I'm not going to say it was glorious. I was always a pretty mediocre player. And when I was a kid, I was on this team. And one season, we had just the worst season ever. We didn't win a game. I don't think we even drew a game. We lost all of our games, and I think we ended up with 0 points at the end of the season, totally at the bottom of the league table. And, you know, at the time, I didn't care. I think it's funny now. I thought it was funny then. I don't care about winning or losing. I just want to play the damn game. But this particular story, let's call it Red Dragon, Blue Dragon, or we can call it Red Dragon, Green Dragon. We call it Green Dragon, Blue Dragon. It doesn't have anything to do with dragons. It has to do with an assistant coach that we had. On that particular season, that year, we had a new kid on our team, and he had never played the game before in his life. He had no concept as to how to play it. And to top that off, he weighed about three times the average for a child that age. Could not run, could not move, could not do anything. And apparently he failed out of American football and decided, oh, well, maybe you can play soccer. Well, I don't know who ever thought fat kids could run, but apparently his dad did. And so his dad signed him up. Next thing you know, he's on my team. To make things worse, his dad decided that he had to be the assistant coach. Why did he think he was qualified to be the assistant coach? Well, why does anybody who has no qualifications think they're qualified for anything? I don't know. It's one of the greater mysteries in life. So at one point in time in the year, oh wait, before we get to that, one thing you need to understand is this was not what you would call a competitive team in that there are no tryouts. You sign up, you get to play. And that's why this kid ends up on our team. It's just purely geographical. And he lived in the certain region. All right, you're on this team. Great. Back then, the basic strategy for kids of that age is you put them all up front on the line. anyway, the kids that can play, and you put all the slow kids who can't do anything back on defense, because the rationale here is that kids aren't coordinated enough, and if you give them, put them all up front, you'll have a better shot of getting shots on goal. Maybe something will happen, there'll be action, and if they don't have any defense back there, it's all just to keep the game going. Another strategy for that age was the formation. If you look at a professional team today, you'll notice that their lineup is usually 4-4-2. They got two guys up front, they got four guys in the middle, and they got four defenders, and then they got a goalie. 4-4-2 is one of the most common lineups there is, and you'll see that anywhere. But back then, we ran 2-3-5. That's right, only two defenders and five forwards. And that was my job. I was up in the front on the wing. On the left side, the only thing I had to do, kick the ball in the middle, get it to the one guy who's good, and let him score. Yeah, okay, no problem. I was pretty good at that. So the new kid, of course, he gets put way back as a fullback. He's a defender, and his only job is to kick the ball as hard as he can back to the people who can play. And let's just say he wasn't the greatest at it. Well, anyway, this kid's dad apparently thought that his kid wasn't getting enough action or something along those lines, and so the dad came up with all these plays, all these, I don't know what you'd call them, he had these secret plays, and he named them all things like Blue Dragon and Green Dragon and Red Dragon. And he managed to, I guess, to sell our coach on this idea. I don't know why, because it's the stupidest idea ever. But apparently we had nothing better to do. Yeah, we don't bother learning the weave or anything. Yeah, don't bother learning how to do rolling triangles down the field. No, what we learned was Blue Dragon. And I don't really remember what these plays were. I only really remember what one of them, and I don't remember which color it was, but let's just say it's Blue Dragon. And the plan here was that at any particular substitution point, two guys would come running onto the field and go somewhere, I can't remember. And then the two inside forwards were to run back and take the defenders' positions, the fullback positions. The fullbacks, in the meantime, were supposed to run forward and be the inside forwards at this point, which is absolutely a horrible idea, because these are the guys who you need to have that are fast, have ball control, and who can score. And so now we got the fullbacks up there, the two kids who can't do anything and usually miss the ball when they try to kick it. You know, obviously this is just some ploy by the dad to get his kid up front or something. I don't know what he was thinking. And so we actually had to spend a couple of weeks practicing these plays. You know, the coach would yell out, Blue Dragon! And we'd have to do all this stupid running. And the forwards actually had to run backwards. For some reason, they weren't allowed to turn around and just run back to where they were supposed to be. No, they had to jog backwards, looking over their shoulders. I don't know who thought this was a good idea. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, even to this day. And I've heard some pretty stupid stuff when it comes to football. Needless to say, we spend a couple weeks working on this useless stuff. There's no strategic advantage to doing this. This is actually the dumbest thing to do, and we just wasted so much time. It was stupid. So the day finally comes where we're having a game, and we are warned that, oh, we're going to do Blue Dragon during this game, so be ready. It'll probably be in the first substitution. Okay, so we know when this is coming and all this. And the time comes. The coach screams, Blue Dragon! And we go through this stupid jogging around in circles, monkey running around the mulberry bush crap. And once we're all done running around and now in our new positions, what happens? That's right, the referee blows the whistle and actually stops the game. Now, if you're not a soccer fan or a soccer player, you might not understand the significance of this, but one of the big things in soccer, football, is that the game does not stop. You do not stop the game for injuries. You do not stop the game because wimps are tired. You do not stop the game, period. And so we were all real flabbergasted. The referee comes running over and says, "What in the goddamn hell are you people trying to pull?" He starts counting players, makes sure everything is kosher, bitches out the coaching staff, tells them, "You know better than to do stupid crap like that." And so then we got to spend another minute getting the idiots off the field, getting the people who were supposed to be up here, back there, and back there, up to here. Oh my God, it was embarrassing. That was the only time in my life I've ever seen a football game stopped, and I have seen a lot of them. Needless to say, we never did any of that red dragon, blue dragon stupid crap again. And one of the main reasons was is because by the end of that season, that kid wasn't on our team anymore, because it turns out that soccer, football, is not a good sport for 10-year-olds who weigh 300 pounds. Of course, the next year we were much better. Strangely enough, we only had like 8 guys on our team, and you need at least 11. And we ended up getting like 4 or 5 guys that were on a select team that didn't make it. And so they got bumped down to us. And so we had these like 5 great guys. And we did really good the next season. Then the season after that, then we lost those guys again. The season after that, we had them back. It was a hoot. And so that's my memory of Blue Dragon. I haven't thought about that in I don't know how long. Many, many years. And speaking of the color blue, I think what we're going to do next is to listen to some music. And the music we're going to listen to is by a band called Thalo Blue, which was my band back in about the turn of the century. This was definitely a fin de siècle type of band. And the song you are going to hear is called Petrified Amber. So let's take a listen to that real quick.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our musical interlude today. While you were listening to the music, I started gathering the equipment. I started gathering the gear that we're going to need, because if you remember what I was talking about yesterday, the ATM that has the magic headphone jack, I think it's time for us to go to the bank. Almost time. First, we've got to gather all the gear we're going to need, and that's a little bit tricky because I don't know what we're going to need, although we are going to need a cable to jack this recorder into the ATM, and it's a headphone jack, so presumably that's speaker level, so we're going to need an attenuator because I only have a line in, but some of that's adjustable and blah, 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 so we're just going to take a regular cable. We're going to take an attenuating cable, and we're going to take a 1/8 inch to 1/4 inch mono tip ring adapter. A tip sleeve adapter. You know what I'm talking about. 1/4 inch phono. 1/4 inch phono is one of my favorite connectors ever, and it doesn't surprise me because it was invented by who? That's right, the phone company. The same people who invented everything that I love. Like transistors, like the operating system you're using right now, and phones, you know, gotta love phones. What else has the phone company invented that I really, really like? Oh, probably a jillion different things. But one thing that they did invent was these connectors, and I love them. And if you know what a 1/4 inch phono jack is, or a plug, then you are... well, you're as cool as me. Give yourself a pat on the back. I'm also wondering if we should take headphones. I'm going to have something to monitor with, so I think we're going to take headphones, and I think we're going to take the 240s. That's right. My standard traveling pair of headphones is AKG 240s. If I'm doing other stuff, I've got other AKGs, but the 240s are going to be good enough today. And if for some reason you've ever thought about buying Beats by Dr. Dre or some other stupid pair of headphones, don't make me come over there and slap you. Just go take the same amount of money and buy some AKG 240s. They're 4 times as good and they cost the same price as Beats. Beats are crap. When Dr. Dre signed that contract and put his name on that product, yeah, his street cred went through the floor because those headphones suck. Don't take my word for it. You can look it up. All right, well, I guess there's no more putting it off. Let's go jump in the car. I got all the gear. Let's drive to the bank. The next sound you hear will be me jacking this recorder into the ATM, and you're going to hear my banking transaction. I need some cash. I am broke. I need to buy some stuff. So we're going to the bank. You're going to hear the talking ATM in 3, 2, 1.
To hear information on how to use this ATM, press the bottom left key on the keypad. You may repeat instructions on any screen by pressing the bottom left key on the keypad.
Está bienvenido al cajero automático con instrucciones audibles de estándar interfase edición cajero.
Would you like to turn off the video display before please select the language you wish to use. For English, press 2. For Spanish, press 6. To cancel this transaction, press cancel. To repeat these options, press the bottom left key on the keypad. Please select the language you wish to use. For English, press 2. English. Enter your personal identification number on the keypad. For security, you will enter. Please select the type of transaction by pressing the appropriate key. To transfer funds from one account to another, press 1. To deposit cash and/or checks, press 2. To withdraw cash, press 5. To withdraw. Please select an account type. For checking, press 1. Checking. Please select a withdrawal amount. For $100, press 1. For $60, press 2. For $20, press 3. $100. If you would like a receipt with your transaction, press 1. For no receipt with your transaction, press 2. No. Please wait while we process your transaction. Please remove your cash. The dispenser slot is located below and slightly to the left of the ATM keypad. Your transaction is complete.
Well now, wasn't that interesting and fun and informative and so exciting? We just got to hear a talking ATM. Oh, I'm so excited. Remember, you heard it first right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I'm the president of the Dubious Goals Committee, who is bringing you all this awesomeness over the airwaves to you. But they're not airwaves. They're just bytes traveling along wires at extraordinarily fast speeds. And I'm okay with that. I should probably take a second and apologize for the quality of that recording. It was more difficult than you might imagine, and the sound quality wasn't even good to begin with. It was really poorly generated computer speech, as you heard, and it was super noisy, and I can't understand why. They put all these features in the ATM, and you gotta tell me you can't just put an actual recording of somebody's voice in there. It's not like memory is expensive, so just sample some stuff, put it on there, have it be 44.1, make it CD quality or better. It doesn't cost you anymore hardware wise. Yeah, you might have to spend 2 hours in a recording studio recording somebody saying, please enter your PIN number. The keypad is located to the left and blah blah blah. Well, you heard it. You know what it needs to say. I wasn't impressed too much by the quality. I'm kind of impressed by the whole idea. I think more stuff should be talky. Why can't they make like vending machines talk? Maybe they do. I wouldn't know. I don't spend a lot of time buying stuff from vending machines. Maybe I should start looking. If you are somewhere near some vending machines, take a real close look at them. See if there's any headphone jacks, any place to plug in an audio device for the hearing impaired or whatever. And let me know, and then I will try to find a similar device and bring the recording to you right here on Anon Radio. You're welcome. I am here for you. And speaking of inputting personal identification numbers, you heard me input mine. Oh no, I hope somebody doesn't hacksor my banksor account. Oh no, somebody could use their decoder. Oh, wait a minute. Those weren't DTMF tones. You got nothing. I would have laughed if they were DTMF tones, though. That would have been really funny. I love DTMF. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it stands for dual tone multi-frequency. And these are the tones that your touch tone phone makes when you dial a phone number. Although, since most people are using cell phones these days, you just don't have them anymore. Your phone just goes beep, 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 and it's not nearly cool as DTMF. Nothing's as cool as DTMF. Who invented it? That's right, the phone company. It's called dual tone multi-frequency because, well, you know what? This isn't a freak lesson. This isn't the freak show. This isn't the telephone history hour. This is not the Telephone Pioneers of America radio show. I wish it was. I am not a member of the Telephone Pioneers, but I do love the Bell system, something special. And you might detect some kind of undertones here, and Occam's razor. If you're thinking it, it's probably true, but I will deny it in public. I will also deny it on SDF, so don't confront me in comm, because I will deny everything. So now we're on a quest to find other things that talk. I can't even think of other things it might be. I'm reminded, however, when I was a child, our zoo, our local zoo, had these funny little boxes in front of most animal enclosures. And if you were a member of the zoo at a certain level, you got what was known as a zoo key, which was a plastic elephant, and his trunk was a simple key, and you could take this key around to all these little boxes in front of the animal exhibits, put the key in and twist it, and you would hear a recording giving you information about the animals in the boxes. I make that sound crueler than it really is. We have a really good zoo here that would blow your mind. But unfortunately, they don't have those boxes and zoo keys anymore. I wish they did. Those would make some good recordings to get. If I lived, you know, somewhere else, if I lived in London, I'd be the first person in the tube recording Mind the Gap. I always wanted to have my own recording of that. It's kind of hard to get a direct recording of, but, you know, even an ambient recording would be worth it to me because I love the Mind the Gap recording. What else do I like? I also like, I can't believe I can't remember her name. Okay, somebody in comm, open up another window and get ready to find something on Wikipedia. Who is the voice of WWVH? WWVH is one of the time standard stations. It's the one not in Colorado, it's the one in Hawaii, and it has a woman's voice. And now, for some reason, I can't think of her name off the top of my head. So somebody look up who's the voice of WWVH and give us that information in comm. Because I can't remember. But anyway, I'd love to have just some recordings of her. I'd love to have all the great old recordings from the phone company, all the old... This number is no longer in service, you have reached blah blah blah, or any of the disaster recordings that you would never hear, you know, unless, if there's a giant tornado and all the phone stuff got taken out, you'd get reports of that, or a recording of that. You'd get recordings of hurricanes. There's all kinds of stuff. There was even a nuclear war one. Yes, that's right. I'm sorry, this phone cannot be reached due to nuclear war has wasted half the eastern seaboard. Good luck calling anybody now. And that's why I live in Nebraska. That's right. Well, yeah, but don't you kid yourself. I live in Nebraska. It's going to be ground zero because I live about 10 minutes away from Strategic Air Command, which is where all the nuclear bombers are going to come from. Anyway, I'm looking at the master clock here, and it looks like we're running out of time once again, kids. So, I'm going to say goodbye to you today. My name is Tobe. I'm the president of the Dubious Goals Committee and its chief corrupt financial officer, so don't send any money because I'm just going to pocket it.